Father, we're asking you, Lord, at this hour, at 7:59, to sweep across California, Lord, with angels, and right out of their lungs can blow a fire out. We ask you, Lord God, that you would put down these fires. It is beyond human ability. Father, we pray also, and Lord, while we're at it, we know that we as a nation and as a state have rejected you. You owe us nothing. So Lord, we humbly, with repentant hearts, ask that you'd put out the fires. God, that you'd strengthen our firefighters, protect them. Lord, for all those that are homeless, those that are at Qualcomm Stadium, Lord, that you would meet all their needs. In fact, Father, we pray that there'd be Christians there in the stadium and praying for others and talking about Jesus. And Father, that at a time like this, the church would do what the church does best. The church moves in times of crisis. So Father, may our love be practical. We ask you, Father, to bless, and I do not limit it to this church only, but Calvary Chapel Running Springs, bless it. And all churches on the mountain. Lord, those in Silverado Canyon, Trabuco. Lord, down in Pendleton and Oceanside and Rancho Bernardo. Lord, up those up north in the Simi Valley area. On and on it goes. Malibu and the Presbyterian Church that was burned to the ground there at Pepperdine. Lord, so much. May all of this bring about an opportunity to proclaim Christ to hearts that are humbled and in need. And then, of course, Lord, the weird thing of it all is that you would stoke somehow the economy of your people. As bizarre as all this is, Lord, it happens with money. And, Father, our economy has taken a great hit. We ask you, Father, that you'd bless the income of churches. And, God, that we'd be able to channel these funds to present Jesus Christ. Lord, we come to you, and you only do we come. Bless our time together in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. 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 Well, listen, grab your Bibles, if you would, to Judges chapter 10, and we'll get as far as we can this evening. We probably won't get very far at all, to be honest with you, but this chapter is so, so vitally important. We started it last week together. We're looking at three things that you need to survive. Three things that you need to survive. And we started out last time in verses 1 to 5, and that is, we were reading about what was transpiring regarding the judges of Israel, and we saw this, that out of it, we gleaned that we need to be a people developing a thankful heart. Remember that? That we needed to be developing a thankful heart. And do you remember, does anybody remember what your homework was? I'm wondering if you remember. What? I heard it. God bless you. She gets an A. To talk to your children and to instruct their children, to train your children to speak of things that they're thankful for. Why? Because it's vitally important. Asking our kids, really, frankly, to groom a heart of thankfulness is something that we have to instill within them. We've got to put it in them. And so listen, for those of you, the rest of you who forgot to do your homework, I want you to go back again and do it. And that is, start training your kids to write down or say to you something that they're thankful for. It'd be great to have them say something each day what they're thankful for. And let them say it. Let them get into the habit. Why is that important? Because you will grow up a child thankful, that will be able to praise God and honor the Lord even in the most challenging and difficult times. There's nothing more powerful than a thankful heart. It can change so much. And what can it change? What can it do? We saw this. It creates appreciation in that person's heart and in the ears of those around them. Israel had become unappreciative of what God had done. They had forgotten their history, remember? They had some 45 years of peace. And they got, frankly, they got lazy. They were prospering. They got wealth. They had leisure. They settled back on their laurels. And they got sloppy. And they forgot God. They failed to continue or to develop a thankful heart, and so they weren't appreciative. But if we do have a thankful heart, it will create within us an appreciation. We saw also that there are calls to action. If we have a thankful heart, there will be a call to action. We will not sit back, but we will get engaged. We will move in the area of worship to God and helping our brothers and sisters. Israel had become that type of a people who they began to look at one another and not care or love for one another. And that is a dangerous thing when a culture no longer has regard for one another. That's a dangerous time. You want to know why? Because you can break down on the side of the road and people will just keep driving right by you because they don't care. Israel had their donkeys and their chariots and they would go right by somebody that was along the road. They didn't care anymore because a thankful heart had been removed from them. They actually had removed it from themselves. You have to defend and protect these things. And so the actions began to cease. But God calls us to action. And then last time we saw that a thankful heart shapes attitudes. Man, listen, there could be a bunch of complainers around, but someone who chooses to be thankful. When somebody says, well, you know what? I know everything's burning down, but at least we have our lives. That gets people thinking. Do you understand that? You know that, right? It gets people thinking. Yeah, you're right. And normally in our humanity, in our humanness, when things are really, really smooth going and cool, we've got this tendency to pamper things that don't matter. We spoil things that don't count. And so when a crisis comes, it's almost as though that it brings things back to focus. Oh my goodness, that's right. We have each other. We've lost our home in the fires, but we have each other. Or whatever the case may be. An amazing thing. I saw on the news, as you probably did, that there was this home in Malibu where it was an obvious mansion of a home. And there was this extended garage off to the side of the house. And inside the garage, Todd, you'll appreciate this. Inside the garage, there were vintage Porsche and Ferraris and Mercedes, some of them dating back to the late 30s, I think it was. Amazing, completely burned. House, cars, and everything. And the reporter was saying that the owner had not yet been allowed back to see what had happened. So you wonder, what reaction will that be? Didn't Jesus say, don't lay up your treasures on earth where moth or rust, or in California, a firestorm can consume them? So hopefully whoever rich person this house was, they know Jesus, or they come to know Jesus. When they see that all this is gone, they've got this gutted, burned out thing on the beach. Who would want it? But there it is. But when somebody comes along and says, well, you know what? Look, my cars are gone. My house is gone. We have our lives, or we have the Lord. What a great thing that is. So as we look to our study tonight, oh, you might be asking, how do we put these things into action? Okay, that's point one out of the study. That's 3-point study, development of thankful heart. How do we do it? You've told us about it. How do we do it? You might want to jot this down. I wrote this down for me because we really need to do this. This is a big deal. It's very important. Number one, choose to be appreciative starting right now. You have to choose to do that. See, what are you talking about? Find something right now that you can start appreciating and thanking God for, whatever it might be. I got to tell you, look, I'm happy to be here. Happy to be standing up. How's your tummy right now? Are you hungry? Are you full? You got clothes on? None of you are naked? Start being appreciative. And it almost sounds like I'm like your old daddy grabbing you by the chin and saying, now you be appreciative. You know, you appreciate things. But you know what? God says that to us. We need to give our thanks to the Lord. Count our blessings one by one, you know. We need to do that. So we need to choose. The power is in the choosing. I will choose to appreciate what God has given me. And you decide to do that right now. And the great thing is, it'll begin to affect everything about your life. It's been said, I don't know if it's true or not, but it's been said that America, the most industrialized nation on earth, has the biggest bunch of whiners. And the proof that they put was this. More lawsuits are filed in America. By the way, more lawsuits are filed in California, in all of America. In California, we complain, we gripe about things, we file more grievances, we're offended more often by more people, our feelings are hurt more than more people. You know what? Just start being appreciative and all that stuff. You ever seen water on a duck's back? Remember that? You ever seen a duck? Have you ever seen a duck? The water goes, it looks like marbles. It goes right off their back. We need to be like that. Well, how do I be like that? Start choosing to be appreciative. Start doing that. Number two, decide to go active. To go active. What do you mean by that? Start getting engaged. We can sit around. My dad, I grew up in a very strict home. Let me tell you something. I was under command by my dad, the United States Marine Corps. When you turn 18, you will vote. What do you say? You say yes to that when you're told like that. You will vote. Yes. So I turned 18. I haven't missed an election since. I can hear my dad from the grave. You will vote. But you know, my dad said, and I grew up in a non-Christian home, so take this with a grain of salt. But my dad said, if you don't vote, you can't complain. Well, as Christians, we're not supposed to complain anyway. But what we ought to do is decide to be active in everything. Find out what God would lead you to be involved in and make a difference. Be that salt and light. And then thirdly, under this point, take on a new attitude right now. Decide tonight, I am going to develop and nurture and bring about this thankful heart. It's going to affect my appreciation, my actions, and my attitude about how I live the rest of my life. And I'm going to start whining and griping about it. I'm going to stop that and I'm going to start being thankful. Point number two tonight is found in verses 6 to 16 of Judges chapter 10, and that is developing a submissive spirit. And we've got 15 minutes to talk on submission, and it ain't going to happen, so we'll get started. We'll just read through here and get into it later on. Then the children of Israel, verse 6, again, mark it, did evil in the sight of the Lord. It makes you just want to crawl through the pages of the Bible and shake them, and yet we're just like them. And serve the Baals and Ashtaroths, the gods of Syria, the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the people of Ammon, and the gods of the people of the Philistines. And look, they forsook the Lord and did not serve him. Will you mark that latter end of verse 6? Mark it. God does not take this lightly. In fact, for those who are listening internationally, those guys listening in Germany right now, listen. It applies to you, not only America, but a nation who forsakes the Lord and serves other gods. A nation that forsakes him to serve other gods, he will not bless. Look at the nations of the world that have forsaken God. Look at them. That's a good homework assignment. Go look what's happened. Verse 7, so the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the people of Ammon. Before we leave verse 7, the word sold them, it's a very interesting word. He didn't set up the sale and put a price tag on them and say, hey, you want to buy some knuckleheads? He didn't do that. The word in Hebrew means that they put themselves up on the slave market. They did it to themselves. Because they did that. You say, how did they do that? Because they went and flirted with other gods, foreign gods. They adopted all the pagan gods of Babylon, their original origin, place of origin. They served them, and so the Lord said, look, you put yourself on the block. You stepped up there. You're for sale. When it says he sold them, it means he allowed them to do what they wanted. Oh, this is not in my notes, so maybe it's for someone here tonight. Listen, church. You can be so hot on something. I got to have that. And you know just enough of the Bible, and you know just enough of that thing, whatever it might be, or that person, that you are thinking, and you believe that you're kind of okay with God, but you're bartering with God. You're gambling with God. And he doesn't gamble. And you're saying things like this. I really think it's God's will that I marry that guy or marry that girl or buy that thing or do that job. And you start thinking, talking, and you talk yourself into it. And it's very dangerous because when you start pushing and pushing, watch this. I'll give you an example. We want meat. Remember this? Sound familiar? We want meat. We're sick of this manna. Now, that's pretty amazing. This bread falls from heaven. It comes down, settles on the ground. We pick it up and eat it every day. It totally sustains us for like forever. We don't want it. We want meat. And Israel began to hold God at hostage almost about, we want meat, we want meat. So God sent a wind to blow. Can you imagine all these quail? They're flying along. And the wind starts blowing. And in my mind, because I have a cartoon mind, they're trying to go one way. And you see the quail going backwards in the wind. They go backwards in the wind. I didn't say that in the Bible, but the wind blew the quail in. And it says there that Israel got up, they got sticks or baseball bats, and they began to whack all these quail, and they had meat. And they had meat, and God gave them meat. Okay, was it God's plan to give them manna until they got to the promised land? Yes. God didn't say he was going to give them meat. They wanted meat. They whined, complained, until God said, all right. Blows in a flock of quail. And the Bible says that they began to eat quail. And it began to back up in their stomach and in their throat. And they had it coming out of their nose. They had quail coming out of their nose. They were choking on quail. And the scripture says there that he gave them their request, but he sent leanness into their souls. There are things that you may be pursuing and going after, and you got to have it. And you're outrunning God on the issue. You're ahead of him on it. He's not leading in that direction, but you're pushing and pushing and pushing. And then you got to justify, because you're a Christian, you got to justify where you're going. Oh, look, God wants us to have that house. Secretly, you've been scheming about how to get it. And you pray a deep, heavy prayer like, God, if the for sale sign's still up in front of the building when I drive by today, then it must be from you. You begin to rationalize, push. Then you get it, and you wonder why things are not right. Or your love for God cools down. It's now, whatever it is, it's attached to your heart. And it begins to push God out. Oh, but I got to have it. Listen, are you sure you have to have it? Because I'm not talking monetarily. Can you afford it? Because there's nothing that should take the place in our lives in that very special place of the Lord, where he's at. He's got to be there. Years ago, I love what Chuck Missler said so many years ago, that God does not want to be number one on a list of 10. He wants to be number one on a list of one. And that's a very important thing. It's the ultimate thing. He sold them into the hands, verse 7, of the Philistines, and into the hands of the people of Ammon. Verse 8, from that year on, they, that is Israel's enemies, harassed The word harassed in Hebrew means to bite the heels of, or to pick at, or to taunt them. Israel's enemies taunted Israel and oppressed them. The word oppress here means to chip away piece by piece at them. Begin to wear down their culture, wear down their beliefs, wear down their families and their towns and villages. The children of Israel were worn down, oppressed, harassed, picked on for 18 years. All the children of Israel who were on the other side of the Jordan in the land of the Amorites in Gilead, verse 9 says, moreover, the people of Ammon crossed over the Jordan to fight against Judah also. So now this is down southerly. Israel's in the north. This is where the kingdom's divided. Israel's in the north. Judah's in the south. Also against Benjamin and against the houses of Ephraim, so that Israel was severely distressed. The word severely distressed here, 18 years of harassment by these pagan nations. The word means to make them thin, worn, tired, to be worn down. Something that has been just rubbed on so long. You ever see where water drips on a stone and after 1,000 years it made a hole in that rock? Just worn thin. Verse 10, and it says there, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, saying, we have sinned against you, because we have both forsaken our God and served Baal. Plural, actually. So the Lord said to the children of Israel, listen to this. They're not only hurting, they're going to get spanked. Did I not deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and from the people of Ammon and from the Philistines? Answer, yes. Also, the Sidonians, Amalekites, and the Maonites oppressed you, and you cried out to me, and I delivered you from their hands? Answer, yes. Verse 13, yet you have forsaken me and served other gods. Now watch this. Therefore, I will deliver you no more. Verse 14, go and cry out to the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in your time of distress. And the children of Israel said to the Lord, we have sinned. Listen, please, everyone, watch this. Do to us whatever seems best to you. Only deliver us this day, we pray. So they put away the foreign gods from among them and serve the Lord. Stop right there. There's a period there. Stop. Next week, we'll get into God's call in our lives to submit. Now, probably there won't be one woman in this church next Wednesday night, and very few men. Or maybe they'll be packed with men, and because of all that skewed understanding of woman submit. Oh no! Next week we're gonna look at that a little bit and what it ought to be in the life of a believer. What does it mean to submit? Who submits to who? Why? Are there conditions? What does the word mean? What is the parameters? But what I want you to see as we close this up for this evening is that the people cried out and they confessed, we've sinned. Number two, they not only talked about it, they put away the foreign gods. And let me tell you, that sounds, and we read over it so lightly, that sounds so easy. They put away foreign gods. I want you to think right now. You guys, all of you, get into this. They put away foreign gods. How did they do it? Who was involved? You got to remember, this was a culture that had gone completely pagan. Okay? There were shrines, temples. We know this from archaeology. Massive, huge temples. My goodness, for those of you who are with us in Jordan, and they're referenced here in this chapter. Do you remember when we were walking down the portion of the King's Highway in Jordan, in Jerash, and there was the temple of the nymphs? You know, a nymphomaniac? They had a temple there to the nymphs, and They had all of this stuff set up. And it was nothing but it had to have been the most gorgeous, spectacular, massive whorehouse that there could ever have been. You went in there and you paid your tithe to the temple, and you got one of the temple male or female priests, and it was prostitution. All in the name of their gods, some god, this god. There are all these various temples of various gods. When Israel said, here, they put away those gods, what you don't read is that they not only tore down the temples, they burned them or tore them down, destroyed them, and they killed the worshipers of those cults. Can you imagine that? See, well, we don't do that anymore. I thank God we don't do that anymore. We need to be leading the cults to know Jesus Christ. But if America, if Europe, if Indonesia, if the world is going after false gods, and God sends forth a revival, could you imagine? This is what caused me to bring this up tonight. I don't know. We've been praying for revival. I don't know if we can handle it. I don't know if we could take it. Because if revival were to come to America, that what I'm basically saying is, if God stepped in and took this country back for himself, the nation that he's founded here, I don't know if Christians could handle it. I don't know if Christians would be on his side. Because what that would mean is, no, we wouldn't go burn any buildings down. We're Christians, for crying out loud. But what that would mean is that we would love people the way God wants us to love them. And what that means is that we would go to them and tell them the error of their ways. And I don't think we have that kind of gut. We would go to somebody who's lost in their drunkenness or lost in their poverty or lost in their wealth or lost in their cult. And we would go to them and we would plead with them and speak to them, telling them about the love of God. You guys have this in your heart and we take it so much for granted. The love of God. You're going to lay your head down tonight and you're not going to worry. Am I going to heaven or hell? What if I die before I wake? Where am I going to go? If you're a Christian tonight, you're going to lay your head down. You're going to, thank you, Lord, I'm tired. Praise God for my pillow. Amen. You're so blessed. Was I good enough? It's not works. It's Christ Jesus. We take it for granted. But people who don't know Jesus Christ, and let me tell you something. They all claim to know Jesus. They all preach a Jesus. They all got one. It just ain't the biblical Jesus. Big difference. There are some cults who say, yeah, he's one of many gods. In fact, we're all a bunch of gods. Okay, then there's cults that say, no, he's just an angel. Then there's cults that say, no, he's just a prophet. Listen, there are those who say that, and it's interesting to me that they almost all deny that he's the Son of God. People try to tell me, whoa, we're just worshiping the same God. Excuse me? Did your God in his writings, does your God say that he would send his son? Does your God say that he has a son that would be our sacrifice? No. The God we worship doesn't have a son. Well, don't say that we worship the same God. Because the God of the Bible says he has a son. Amen. And he came to die on the cross for your sins and mine and for the whole world. And though we don't burn down temples like in the Old Testament days and reject the foreign gods that have invaded from a pagan land, we preach Christ Jesus and him crucified. The hope of eternal life is in him. And that's what we need to do. But if revival happens in America, it will take that of us telling the truth to people that they need the love of the Lord Jesus, the God of the Bible, the Jesus Christ who came, born in Bethlehem, died on the cross in Jerusalem, who rose again from the dead as our sacrifice for our sins and for the sins of the whole world. And so next week we'll get into this, and I think we're going to have a good time. I hope you don't stay home. I hope you come, because there is a freedom in submission to the Lord that if you embrace that, you'll experience the greatest release and freedom that you could ever imagine. How can we win by surrendering? How do we finish by quitting? How do we get strong by being weak? Our God does not work according to man's ways. He's amazing. Let's pray. Father, we ask you, Lord, that you would take just this devotional time tonight and really just bless it to our hearts. Father, we ask you, Lord God, that you would protect all these that are here tonight, that as they go their way, that you'd bless them. And when I say bless, Lord, I mean in the areas that they need the most. Maybe it's their health, maybe it's their thoughts, maybe it's their finances, maybe it's relationship, maybe it's with their son or their daughter, marriage. Lord, there's some here tonight, no doubt, that just need a pick up in their spirit. They're down, not knowing exactly why, just not on. Lord, just love them. Let them know that. Father, we pray tonight that if someone or anyone does not yet know the Lord Jesus, that they would make that decision this evening to say yes to him, to have their sins forgiven, to come before him and confess to him, and to experience eternal life. Lord, thank you so much. And again, God, we pray for your divine intervention on these firestorms. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Let's stand as we...